Oh, it's not rewound?
Is it set A?
Where she had the wiper from.
Okay, well, you have to, can you please give your name and your address?
Jacob Weinberg, 5853 Beacon Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay, thank you very much. We can start with like your history of your family, your parents, and where you were born in Pittsburgh, and where you were born, and the history of your family.
Why was I born?
Where you were born in Pittsburgh, and the history of your family.
Well, I have a history here that get all those quite a while ago. My parents came from Austria-Hungary, when this, my father came to the United States and settled in New York in 1898. He was 23 years old at the time. And my mother came here in 1901 when she was 15 years old. And she lived in New York for 3.5 years. And my father didn't know, it's my father. I'm a little confused here. My mother was born in Ujjarod, Sirtis, in Austria-Hungary. She came here in 1901, just like I mentioned, when she was 15 years old. She lived in New York for 3 years. Did you want to hear all this kind of stuff?
Yeah. What is your mother's name? Cause
Bertha.
What was her maiden name? Do you remember?
Hershkowitz.
Bertha Hershkowitz. And your father's?
Birth is Samuel Weinberg.
Samuel Weinberg. Okay.
My mother was 11 years old when she went to, I think, Budapest, from what I can recall her telling me, to learn how to make clothing, dresses for women. And when she was 15 years old, she came to America, and she started working on dresses. And she started a dressmaking shop. And when she was 18, she got married. And she was so successful making dresses that she has hired somebody. I remember her talking about Ida Dannenberg. She was assisting her, and she was with her for quite a while, from what I can recall. And she, Ida Dannenberg became part of the family. I remember seeing her often coming just to visit us after the businesses had expired, in fact. So, what else do you want to know about
her? She started a dressmaking business in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, right.
And that's when she got married, she was working as a dressmaking business.
Here's what it says here. She did dressmaking for Iper's Dry Goods Store in Columbia Street, New York. That's all it says about her dressmaking. But she was married at 18, and she had to make a living, so that I'm sure she was making dresses at that time. In fact, is I can remember her making an overcoat for me, and when she had four daughters, and in those days you couldn't buy dresses like you can today. You just walk down to the department store and buy a dress and try different kinds on. She would walk down to the department store. I remember him talking about coffins. Coffin himself was a peddler, and he started a store in town. And she'd look at the dress and come home and make a duplicate of it. That's how good she was. She'd get these brown wrapping paper and make a pattern out of it. I remember fitting it on the girls and me too, for that matter, and making clothing from it.
That's wonderful.
Imagine that at that age. Well, she was older at the time, of course, she had children then. But
that's a talent.
How many girls do you hear doing those things? But that was probably common though, because people had to make a living. It wasn't so easy as it is today. Well, today you don't have a job. You don't have to work.
Today, so she got married. This is the information you're reading is according to who?
Gertie, her daughter.
This is your sister, right?
My sister.
Gertie. Okay. So you want to tell us a little bit about your brothers and sisters, or?
My mother had six children, four girls, Then two boys. I was the fifth one of the family, and my sister Gertie is the last one. Now, my brother is deceased. My older sister is deceased for 2 years now.
And how was it growing up as a family?
How was what?
How was it growing up?
You mean how was
it? Well, what did you do for fun and for play and for well, when you went to school, you know, how was it growing up with all the 5, 6 children?
You mean what kind of life I led when I grew up?
Yeah.
Well, you say how was it? I don't know what that meant. Well, I remember living on the Penn Avenue, and I was born in 1915. And you know, I remember going to grade school in the Ralston School. That was on about 14th Street. I lived on 1323 Penn Avenue. And I can remember being in grade school, and they're giving us milk and ginger snaps. Why I recall that, I don't know. And across the street, there was a big lot there. I was told it was a marketplace where they sold goods. And of course, my parents had a store there. And I remember them selling different dry goods, cotton goods for dresses and men's clothing and shoes. And that's how they made a living, selling in this store.
I have a question. Can you tell me a little bit what dry goods are? Give me a little more what kind of dry goods they sold for.
Dry goods?
I'm not used to knowing what
they're doing. It was a variety store of clothing. So men's and ladies' shoes, and ladies' dresses for domestic use, for, nothing fancy. I remember they were selling underwear for men who worked in the mill, heavy wear, underwear protected from the heat of the mill. They sold caps and hats, shoes. It was a double storeroom. But you know, I was so young that even at that time when I had the store, I used to ride a little kiddie car in the store, and I didn't seem to interrupt business or interfere with anybody. So you can imagine all I was when all this happened.
Did you spend the whole day with them when you were kidding?
In the store? Well, I couldn't spend the whole day at that age in the store because I can recall vaguely my mother put me to sleep in bed, and I remember one remark she made. She says, "Now the first one that goes to sleep will get an ice cream cone." And I said to her, "Well, how do we know who's going to go to sleep first?"
A kid that age asked that question. And you know, another thing I remember, you know, I told you I was born in 1915.
Yes.
I remember one time there were a lot of soldiers. I didn't realize that there were soldiers at the time, but thinking back, they were soldiers. They were all wearing the same uniform, brown uniforms, and everybody was excited, and everybody was hugging and kissing. And to me, it was just, at that time, just a lot of excitement. And when I think back, I realize these soldiers were just coming back from the war. Can you imagine that? When I tell you these things, it sounds, how does a kid remember all this? But it just comes back to me. Isn't that something? By World War II, one veteran.
So when was it, 1918?
It had to be 1918. I was 3 years old. Talking about 1918, I actually remember them talking about the fact that during the war, to get any news about what was going on, had to wait a long period of time, a month, to get a letter from somebody overseas. Today we get information instantaneously.
Did your family have relatives overseas? Yeah.
My mother had her family there, my father had. I think he had his family. I never knew my grandparents. I know my mother went to see her parents while I was still a little boy in the Penn Avenue. Later on, I say a little boy in Penn Avenue, later on I was about 8 years old and moved to Lawrenceville, 4621 Buckley Street in Lawrenceville.
And there I went to school, called Baird School.
What was the name of the school?
B-A-Y-A-R-D, Baird.
Baird.
It was a public school, and the classes were up to the sixth grade. And there I still remember a number of things there. I had a teacher, Miss Nelson. I don't recall too much about Miss Nelson. And then I had a teacher named Miss Carlson, taught science. And not only did she teach science, but she taught other things that she was interested in. It had nothing to do with her schoolwork. Mm-hmm. She taught us how to sew. I still remember we had to make a pincushion, a handkerchief, darn socks, all these little things. And from then on, I got a feeling I could sew. And when I had things to mend later on in life, I still remember Miss Carlson, who taught me these things. And I also had a teacher who taught us general studies. What was her name? I can't remember. Anyway, after that, I had to go to another school after sixth grade. I went to Washington Grade School, which was at 40th Street in Butler, until I graduated from eighth grade there. I was there, I went to Shelley High School. And Shelley High School was an excellent school at the time. I had a great reputation. And it was there that I got interested in math. I had very good teachers. One was Mr. Baberka, who was a Czechoslovakian, with a, mm-hmm. a Czech accent, and taught me algebra. I had a Mr. Grafis, who taught me geometry, an excellent geometry teacher. And I had, in ninth grade, I had a man named Mr. Kaler, who was very good in algebra. So I mentioned math because it seemed to stick with me. I also had a good teacher in drawing, Mr. Lawrence, who was an architect. I got interested in drawing through him. Mr. Kaler used to say, I always remember what he told us, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. He was just telling us, if you want to get succeed in life, you have to work hard at it and do something about it. That's what it amounted to. Is that what you want to hear from me?
Okay. Do you want to further that? About? I was wondering what it was like. I do. Could I ask what it was like being Jewish in these?
No, what?
I wondered what it was like being Jewish and growing up in Lawrenceville. And
that's a good question. I was the only Jewish boy in grade school in Lawrenceville, no, in Baird School and also worship school. And because of that, I learned to be a darn good street fighter, an excellent street fighter. Because at that time, people had children, his parents were immigrants, and they were very, discriminating. They were just very conscious of their own background, and they discriminated against other people. So I had names called, and I didn't like it. It's a typical kid that caused fights. But those same kids who fought with me became my close friends. And I enjoyed growing up with them, and we formed close friendships, believe it or not. And then when I went to high school, I formed a close friendship with a boy named Elmo Riley, who lived in the neighborhood. We used to walk to school together and come home together with other students. And we used to go swimming constantly across the street in Leslie Park. I always remember those days.
What did you do in Leslie Park?
We went swimming there. Across the street was a big park where we went swimming, and beyond that swimming pool was a big playing field. And there's the Willow Club there, where people used to train for boxing. Young fellows trained for boxing. Some of the famous fighters grew up there. Billy Conn was one, Fritzy Zivic, a few others. The Pittsburgh was a great sports center. I mean, Lawrenceville was, in particular. And I got a pretty good background in sports. As I pointed out, I was a good boxer, too, because of my heritage. And when I went to Carnegie Tech later on,
I decided to apply for the varsity team. With my background, I had no trouble at all. I was immediately accepted.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the swimming. How did you learn to swim? Did they give lessons, or your parents taught you?
Go swimming.
Tell me about the swimming. Did you take lessons, or you just went to play?
If you say take lessons, professional lessons, is that what you're talking about?
I guess who taught you how to swim? And
we taught each other. And would compare notes as we went swimming, and each one would criticize the other and tell them how to develop their prowess in swimming. And that's how I learned. I never had any test commercial lessons or any professional lessons from people I had to pay. It was all amateur work, and we were very good swimmers.
Did your family come swimming with you, or was this something children?
Was it what?
Did your family come with you to swim, or was it something the kids?
No. It's a public swimming pool. It's still a public swimming pool. Mm. And it had, at that time, I don't know how it is right now, but at that time there were certain days for boys to go swimming and certain days for girls to go swimming. So I think it was Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, boys were swimming, girls were Tuesday and Friday. And it was all free. There's no charge for swimming.
Nice.
And also Saturday and Sunday were swimming days. So that was how we spent a lot of time in the summer. We didn't have private camps like they have today, although I remember vaguely my parents sent me to Emmett Farm Camp in Zillionople when I was 12 years old. That was the only time I really went to a camp. And that was started in the Hill District, I believe, for the young children there who had no opportunity to go any other place. Today, that became a big business. People have a choice of going to many different camps, which didn't exist at that time.
Was Emma Farm a Jewish camp?
Emma Farm was in Zillionople. I don't know what they called themselves, just like a Jewish community center up the Hill District.
Okay.
Do you remember the first time you were with a lot of Jewish people?
First time what?
You were with a lot of Jewish people, kids.
That was actually the first time I was a Jewish kid, because I lived in Lawrenceville all my life. We had a little interesting part here. Jewish merchants lived there and their families, and the only people who lived there were the merchants. And we had a small synagogue on 51st Street. And that synagogue, according to what my father told me, which was hard to believe, I'm sure he told me the truth, but it's still a hard story to believe. He said an Irishman left a one-room structure for Jews to have a synagogue. And the access to that synagogue lived between two storms on Butler Street. One was Cranston Jeweler on the left and a paper shop on the right. The narrow passageway was between these two stores, about 3 feet wide, and it led to this little backyard where this one-room structure was. And on Shabbos, we had to have a minyan. And I used to go around many times to the merchants to call them to make a minyan. And that's how we had our service. And I was bar mitzvah there also.
Mm-hmm.
Big bar mitzvah. A few of the parents came and they had a little bit of something afterwards, and that was the whole story. I got a bar mitzvah present of a fountain pen. That was the old expression at that time. Now I am a fountain pen. You've heard that before. And I got a little book. Sherlock Holmes or Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, maybe something else, that was it. Today it's a different situation, it's like a big wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my bar mitzvah. And yet, I had a good training. I went to a private man for Hebrew school after regular public school. And he taught us how to daven, how to learn, he taught us everything. And it was a little cater we went to, I'd say eight kids or so, not very many kids, but enough to keep it going. The teacher I last remember, I went to one to a cater on 51st Street in Lawrenceville, Butler, 51st and Butler in Lawrenceville. And later on, I guess there was no cater, I had to go to 28th Street in Penn Avenue. near the strip area. And the teacher I had then was Mr. Spokane. He was a very fine man, and I always remember him. Mr. Spokane, S-P-O-K-A-N-E.
S-P-O-K-A-N-E.
I think he was affiliated with the Shoal and East End. And I know he must have passed away quite a long time, because at that time I was just approaching the bar mitzvah age, and he was an older man by that time. He was, I'm guessing, I could say in his 50s. So I always liked him. He was a good, kind man and a smart man.
So even though there was a small Jewish community, the community got someone to teach the boys?
The community what?
Even though it was a small Jewish community, they got someone...
A project community?
A small Jewish community.
Yeah.
They got someone to teach the boys actually in Lawrenceville, but later...
Well, the kids in Lawrenceville were taught in this little shader. And we came together after regular school, public school time. Afterwards, that was how they taught us then. There was no institutions like they have today, like Hill Academy and Hebrew Institute. That didn't exist at the time. Not especially the area I was in, anyway. Maybe maybe up the Hill District they may have had something, I don't know. I remember my brother went to a cheder up in the Hill District. The shul had a little cheder. It was after school hours. And a man I recall who was a teacher was Mr. Greenberger. And he has two sons I know. One is a dentist, I think he's retired, he was a dentist for public school system. The other one worked for the federal government, in the IRS. And he retired too, that's Sidney Greenberger.
Okay.
He's a member of our show, but he doesn't come around except on the main holidays, despite the fact that his father was a religious man. His father ran Paul Zedek, actually. He was some sort of a secretary, and he would have ruled with an iron hand. Is this what you want to know?
Right. Yeah. So you were one of the few Jews. When we talked to Gertie says, Gertie told us it was easy to get along in Lawrenceville because everybody spoke the same kind of European languages, so she felt more at home in Lawrenceville.
I don't know what she meant by that.
She said
my father and mother had a store in Lawrenceville after they left Penn Avenue. They had a store in Lawrenceville, and they operated with the same kind of merchandise they had originally in Penn Avenue.
Okay.
My mother sold a lot of yard goods for dressmaking, and they had the usual thing, men's shoes and ladies' shoes and house dresses and underwear, things of that sort. And they had a good background from the Czechoslovakia of their language. They learned, I don't know if they learned in Pittsburgh or in Europe, but they had, their backgrounds enabled them to learn the Polish language. They spoke Polish so well. I can remember people coming and saying they were not Jewish, they were Polish.
Mm.
And even I understood, at that age, it's very easy to learn a language. Mm. I understood the language, and I even learned a few words. And today I know a few words, like I said. I'd say in Chicago, I see some Polish people, I say, jak się idzie, idzie Mr. Polska. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
And they look at me and think,
are you Jewish or something? Polish, right? Yeah. Jewish.
Right.
So that's what she said. She said everybody was kind of like a European.
Well, they were Europeans. And they got along very well. And the fact is, the times were entirely different. Today, people have cars. They're independent. They need to go somewhere to get in a car, and they drive to that destination, and that's it. At that time, very few people had cars. Everybody was a good neighbor. They all knew each other. And to get anywhere, I can remember standing outside the store on a Saturday or Friday evening, and you see the people parading down the street. No cars. They're parading down the street, either shopping or just walking down the street to see the sights. And everybody knew each other for that reason. If a man would be doing work on his house outside, the neighbor would walk over, what are you doing? And next thing you know, he'd be working right with you. But you don't see that today. You don't even know your next door neighbor. See, that was the difference. Transportation has really changed everything. Can you understand what I'm saying?
So you were one of the few Jews in elementary school and in...
I was one of the few Jews in elementary school, and I formed friendships with these boys I told you. And later on, when I went to school, when I was in high school, I tried to earn enough money to go to college. And I did. I worked with the people next door who had a store named McCloskey. They had a floral shop. And they'd go out decorating caskets, believe it or not. This sounds a little bit weird. But I'd go out with a florist to decorate caskets. At that time, people who died were buried, were in their caskets in their own home. They put wreaths on the door, and they would decorate the area around the casket with the plants. And I would help to carry these plants into the house while a florist would decorate the area with palms and so forth, his ferns. And I'd get a few cents to help him. And I accumulated enough money to go to college my first year. I went to Carnegie Tech. I was a very good student, if I have to say so myself.
All right.
And I say that for a reason. Because I had to pay on an installment plan. The tuition at that time, it's hard to believe now, was a constant figure that didn't change from year to year as it does today. It was $300.
$300.
And I can still recall saying that I have to pay my installments every month, otherwise I'll be dismissed from the school. Well, that annoyed me, but I always paid. But at the end of the year, I was, as I was pointing out, a good student. In fact, as I was exempt from the math exam, on two other classes, exempt from the math exam, because my grades were so good. But I couldn't go the next year. So I got a job working in a drugstore in Lawrenceville, on 45th and Butler, for Sam Horvitz and Dave Lebowitz. They were partners as far as pharmacists. And I went to school at night. I went to school at Carnegie Tech for about 4 years. And finally, I applied for a job at the American Bridge Company. And after hesitation and being very shy about asking for a job, I finally got one with the American Bridge Company, making blueprints for the shop. They'd made the transmission towers, and I made the copies of the drawings. I delivered to the shop, and I got to know more people that way. And of course, there were no Jewish people involved in all the time I worked, never.
How was it working, without?
How was what?
Well, let's go back. When you went to Shenley High School, that was the first time. Like Gordy said, that was the first time with a lot of Jewish people. Right?
There were a lot of Jewish boys and children there, yes. But it didn't make any difference because they were all the same to me, whether Jewish or Gentile, because I grew up with Gentile children, and they were my friends, as I pointed out. But still, I observed Jewishness. When I say Jewishness, I know when boys and girls were not in dates. I never went out with a girl as a date. I knew them personally as friends. And when we went out on a picnic, I went out many times in North Park on a picnic. And I went with a group, and that was it. Didn't go beyond that. In fact, I was very serious-minded about the future. I wanted to get an education so I could get a job, because those days in Lawrenceville were depression days, and I was very concerned about making a living for the future. And that's why I was very concerned about going to college and getting ahead. So I went to college, as I pointed out, and I applied as a civil engineer. And after a year, I had to drop out in day school, went to night school. Then I went to American Bridge Company with a job. And in the meantime, I applied for a job with the government. I took a civil service test as a draftsman. And I was accepted later, at a later date, and they asked whether or not I'd like to accept a job in Wilkes-Barre, 1938, and I did. I went there in 1938, worked on a flood control project at Susquehanna River. And do you want to know about my personal life? Is that all right?
Yes, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, right?
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
And this is after Carnegie Tech, or?
No, I didn't mention that. I was going to night school, Carnegie Tech.
Right.
And I dropped out of school so I could earn money.
Okay.
And I went to Wilkes-Barre, worked for the government as a draftsman. Made, how much was it, $1,600 a year or something like that. That was a going salary, something plus or minus. And I was doing pretty well as a draftsman, and I had an appendicitis attack. And I was in the hospital for 6 weeks because at that time they didn't know much about circulation and blood clotting. That's what happened to me. I don't want to go into all those details. That's a story in itself. And then I came back.
Love to hear it.
Well, you want to hear that?
Sure, if you feel like telling it today.
I can tell you the story, but why? Is it boring to hear that?
What do you want to hear? Because of the medical treatment? And
yeah.
Well, here's